Yes, well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Can we give God a praise offering and with the fruit of our lips bless his name? Can we praise our God for the sounding of the shofar? Can we praise our God for his mighty acts and his wonderful deeds? Can we praise him because he has brought us so far? He has brought us this far. He has brought us through this day. Oh, thank you, oh God. We thank you and we praise you, Father, because this is the day that Jehovah, our Lord, our God, has made. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God, we love you and we adore you and we bless your holy name, and we're entering into your gates today with thanksgiving and your throne room with a Shabbat praise. Hallelujah. And we're praising you because you're a wonderful God. We're praising you because you're opening up the eyes of our understanding. We're praising you because you're bringing people into truth. You're bringing them into the body of Christ. We're praising you, oh God, because you're our healer. You're our provision. You are our supply. You are our protector. You are the supplier of all of our needs, and we understand that, so we glorify you, Father, and we bless your holy name because you are all that we need and more. We thank you for this time and this gathering. You said any two or three gathered together in your name, that there you are in the midst, oh God. So I ask you to touch each and every one of these individual on this line, each and every one of the individual that's listening to this broadcast throughout the world, oh God, and I thank you for a supernatural encounter with your Holy Spirit in their lives today as they listen to you, as they observe your holiness, your Holy Spirit, right now in the mighty name of Yeshua. We glorify you, we honor you, and we bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God bless you all, and I thank you so much for taking your time to join us again today in our live broadcast that's being aired around the world. You know, I just really love to say all the names of the countries that's listening because it just shows us how small the world is. It just shows us how small everything is and how united we truly are in the body of Christ. United States, we're shouting out to the United States and Switzerland and Australia, Togo, Vietnam, Philippines, United Kingdom, Pakistan, India, Jamaica, Norway, and Kenya. Hello to each and every one of you. And if there's other countries that are listening that I wasn't advised of as yet, we say hello to you. We say God bless you. We say that God loves you. We say that we love you, and we thank you so much for walking this walk with us and growing in Christ with us, and we just thank you for just being our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We are all one in the body of Christ, and that's the best thing. Amen. So God bless each and every one of you. I am Evangelist Yolanda Reeves for Anointed Intercessory Prayer Ministry. I was invited to host 7 shows from Evangelist Linda from Gatekeepers Ministry International, and we are on our 5th show today. Hallelujah. We have done 5 shows already. This is our 5th show today. 5 meaning the number of grace, and that was confirmation. The 5th show, the 5 being the number of grace, was confirmation that Father wanted us to continue our lesson from last week, because there was a lot of information that was given, and there were some things that truly wasn't explained thoroughly as the Spirit wanted it to be explained. So we're just going to review a couple of things, and we're going to go a little bit more in depth, and I am going to do my very, very best to slow down and talk slowly. I'm Jamaican, and I'm from New York, and we talk very fast. And I get excited when I get engaged with the Word of God, and I just start going on and on and on. And I said, but I'm going to do my best because there's a lot of things that we have to do. But I want you guys to remember that all our previous shows and all upcoming shows, even today, is on demand, and you can log on at www.blogtalkradio.com. /gatekeepers-ministry. So I want you guys to do your part in spreading the gospel, inviting people to listen, share the link throughout your social media sites so we can all do our part, being a vessel, being used by the Holy Spirit to do what? To impact and save lives. Amen. So a blessing over the word from our Hebraic tongue, and then we're going to translate it in English. We say, Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kadishanu b'mitzvotav. And what we just declared in our Hebraic tongue is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. You have sanctified us in your commandments, and you have commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of your Torah meaning your guidance and your instructions, the accurate arrangement of all things, the teachings of your word from Genesis to Revelations, and through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Ghost, your Holy Spirit. And we glorify you, honor you, Father, for your blessing over the word this day and each day Yeshua's mighty name. Thank God and amen and amen. Hallelujah. So for those that joined us last week and those that continue to join us faithfully each and every week, I thank you for that. Last week, remember, we discussed law and grace. And that is like a controversial topic that goes on around like right now during the churches. And it's a topic that should be pretty familiar with a lot of people. I've heard it throughout a couple of churches. So I listened to the rebroadcast of the show last week. And I realized there was a lot of information that was crammed into one show. And I was watching the clock so hard and attentively that I was rushing through a lot of things. So I want to apologize about that, and I want us to just go over that a little bit more slowly and more thoroughly, and I want to add, not me, the Holy Spirit, wanted us to add some very important scriptures to truly convey and portray what he was truly trying to say in the service last week, amen? So we defined what grace and law was about. We defined what grace and law was about through the scriptures. We defined all of these things, so we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to discuss these things. Remember, Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Why do we use that scripture? Well, because we found out that the commandments is truth, and that truth is law, and we're going to review that today. So the importance of this topic, why did the Holy Spirit pick this topic? Because it is very important. Why is it important to know that we still are under some laws or guidance and instructions or commandments of God, and we do still have to observe them? Why is that important to know that we are under grace, but we do have laws that we must abide by, kingdom laws and earthly laws? Because his guidance and his instructions, they develop us and they enhance our spiritual walk. And they also keep us in the timing of God. The way you obtain your inheritance, your spiritual inheritance, is by knowing who you are in Christ. It's by knowing Christ. It's understanding your identity. It's understanding your DNA structure and your spirituality. And if you have never been told or taught about your royalty, then you will continue to live as a peasant in your spirituality. Amen? So let's examine that thoroughly before we even go forth. If you don't understand that you are kings and queens in the spirit realm, if you don't understand that you have this great, glorious inheritance and promises that Daddy has given you through Christ, and you don't know how to obtain that, then you're going to live beneath your means. And then you're going to live in this nature that you will not be able to, if your parents tell you that you are king and queen and they show you the will and they show you everything that you have, then you're going to walk as a king and queen. But if they don't tell you that, then you're going to live like a regular citizen. That's what the Holy Spirit wants you to understand. You are royalty. You are kings and queens. And there's certain things that you have to do to develop and enhance your spiritual walk to obtain these things. Where? In the earthly realm, because as it is in heaven, so as it is on earth. But if you don't know how to obtain those things, if you don't know how to achieve those things, if you don't know how to reach those things, you know, even call them forth, then you're not going to be able to receive those things. Amen? So let's look at a little bit of scripture. Ephesians 4:14, it says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and the craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming." Why are we using that scripture? It's important that we understand why it's important for us to read our word, for us to pray without ceasing, for us to understand our identity in Christ, for us to walk in our identity in Christ, for us to increase in our spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all of these things we have in the body of Christ. It's important for us to know that. So these teachings that go by every wind blowing, these teachings that are changed by man, by the cunning and the craftiness and the deceitful scheming of the enemy using man to take you where? Off of your mark. To take you what? Out the timing of God. To pull you out of what? Your inheritance in Christ. When you are strong in the Lord, you won't be tossed to and fro. You won't act like a babe in Christ. You'll be mature in the army of God, standing on the word of God strong, like it says in Ephesians 6. Amen? 1 Samuel 15:22, he says, but Samuel replied, he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? And he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of the ram. Why are we using that scripture? Because we're talking about law and grace today. And law is his guidance and his instructions. Law is the act arrangement of all things. It's the teachings of his word that he wants us to do. If we don't have that, what do we have to obey? He said it's better to obey than to sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of the rams. We have to have things to obey. We have to have things to keep us in line and structured. Amen? So quick review from last week. We talked about what law was defined as in the English dictionary or English online site, and it says that it was a binding custom or practice of a community, a rule or conduct or action that was prescribed, formally recognized, binding, or enforced by a controlling authority. We also define law from a Hebraic perspective, and we found out that the word law was Torah. That was important because there was some, we explained that there was some translations and some transliterations that has occurred when the Bible was translated from Hebrew to Aramaic, Aramaic to Latin, Latin to Greek, Greek to English. Amen. So throughout the translations, throughout the transliterations meaning they had to use letter for letter, word from word, they're trying to find a word that matched this word. They couldn't line everything up exactly. So the word Torah could not be translated to mean that. So they used the word law. So now we understand that the word law came from the word Torah, which just doesn't mean the first five books of the Bible. It actually means his guidance and instructions. When you look it up thoroughly, it means to shoot the arrow and hit the mark. To shoot the arrow and hit the mark. His guidance and instructions, the accurate arrangement of all things. So we gave that, we defined that. We also defined grace, but we're going to go into grace in a minute because there was an important topic that wasn't touched last week through law that Father said we have to show through the scriptures for it to be an aha moment for everyone. Amen? So he says, and through the scriptures, we saw on Psalms 19:7. That was the first scripture we touched. And it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And just for those that don't know, when you see the word Lord in all caps, L-O-R-D, all caps, that means to say his name. There was a rabbinical ban about saying the name of God, and it was taken out the Bible 6,828 times. So when you see the word all caps, that was a message for you to say his name, Jehovah. Amen? So the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And then we went to Psalms 119, 151 to find out what the definition of law was. Okay? And it says that you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. So then you have defined the word law biblically by scriptures. So now if you wanted to go back to Psalms 19:7, you can say truth. The truth of the God is perfect. It converts your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Once you defined it, you can put it back into that text so you can have a full understanding. We also saw in Psalms 119:151, we saw that it says that the word was true. And there was another scripture. Hold on, I don't have it in here, but I'm getting ready to get it for you right now. Psalms 119:151 is true. Psalms 19, I don't have it on here from last week. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue. Don't worry about that. That's a distraction. Okay, so it says you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are true. So we see that the law is true. We also see in John 14:6 that Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So just reviewing these few scriptures, we can see that the law is always already defined as truth, it's defined as commandments, and it's defined as who? Jesus. Jesus. We see that that is him. So just with that in mind, if someone came to you and said that we're done away with the law, our common sense should actually kick in and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Because law is defined as what? truth. Law is defined as commandment. Law is defined as Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Truth is the law because we define that. So that doesn't make sense. So what exactly are we done away with then? So that's, we have to be very mindful of when people come to teach us something, the questions that we ask to make them give us clarity. Amen? And that was one thing that we did not discuss last week. We discussed that Paul was a controversial person in the Bible, and a lot of people used him to say that we are done away with the law, that we are solely under grace, and that we're not underneath the law. We also went and we looked to see what the world considers as the law. We looked at Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, the Ten Commandments. We read all of that. We looked at Leviticus chapter 23, and we saw the feast days, the holy days, the Moedim, the days that Father says are holy convocations that we must observe throughout the days, which would be what? The Sabbath, the Passover, unleavened bread, the Feast of the Fruits, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. We read that and we saw that. Amen? So now let's see and let's go and look at ourselves through scriptures without me doing so much explaining on what was being said, but actually showing you what God wants you to see. Let's go to the book of Romans, and we're going to see exactly. We used the scripture last week, Romans 6:14, and we used Romans 6:14 exactly. And it says, sin must not be your master, for you do not live under law, but under God's grace. And remember, we said, oh, that's a very controversial scripture. A lot of people use that to say that we're no longer under that. So we defined what law was. Let's just take a quick look at what grace is again really quickly so you can have that understanding. Grace was defined by just by a regular English dictionary, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. We also define grace from a Hebraic perspective, and it was the word hen, C-H-E-N. And that definition says, to bend or to stoop in kindness to one another as a superior to an inferior. They said it's the idea of graciousness in a manner or action. And when referred to God, it's the action of him literally stooping down to us in his kindness to reach us in our need and to convey upon us a benefit. His mercy is an expression of his compassion towards us, but his grace, extension of kind-hearted, good nature, translated into action that releases his enabling power in our lives. Amen? So when you understand that and you see that, we go back to the scripture. It says Romans 6:14, which states, sin must not be your master, for we do not live under the law, but we live under God's grace. So now you're saying, okay, well, you just said that we have to abide by the law. There's things that we abide by, but it just said that we do not live under the law. We abide under God's grace, but under God's grace. So remember, we also mentioned that it's very important. You see, I'm slowing down. It's very important for you not to take scriptures out of context. So now last week, we didn't read the whole of chapter 6. Now, after I listened to the rebroadcast, I realized there was some very pertinent information that was revealed in chapter 6 to explain to you what Paul was saying in verse 14. And that's why it's so important for you to study to show yourself approved. When someone gives you a scripture, just don't read that scripture. Read the whole chapter. Find out what the book is about. Find out why they're talking, who they're talking to, what was going on during that time, the reason why this individual person wrote this letter, what was going on, what was he trying to clean up, why was the Holy Spirit using him at that time to convey this message, and what was the actual message that needed to be conveyed. There's a lot of things that you have to take in consideration when you're studying the Word of God. Amen? So get your Bibles out. Let's go to Romans 6. Amen? Let's go to Romans 6, and let's see what is going on in Romans chapter 6. Let me read to you what it says about what's going on in Romans. Romans, the book of Romans, explores the significance of his sacrificial death. His who? Christ. Christ's sacrificial death. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. and it's more than just facts to believe. He is explaining to you the good news of Jesus Christ as a lifestyle to be lived, a life of righteousness befitting for a person, a life of righteousness that you must be able to live. And that's what understanding your identity in Christ is about, understanding who you are in union with Christ, Christ in you, you in him, to walk at the height of the abilities and the capabilities and your gifts and all the things that Father says that you have right now. Amen? We're going to read Romans chapter 6, and I'm reading out of the Good News translation because out of the different translations that I studied, this one read really like with ease of effort. Effortlessly is the word I was looking for. So the topic, it says, dead to sin but alive in union with Christ. Now listen to this. It says, what shall we say then? Should we continue to live in sin so that grace, that God's grace will increase? Certainly not. Now, remember, this is Paul talking. He says, we have died to sin. How then can we go on living in it? For surely you know that when we were baptized into union with Christ Jesus, we were baptized into union with his death. By our baptism, then, we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from death by the glorious power of the Father, so also we might live a new life. Verse 5, he says, for since we have become one with him in dying as he did, in the same way, we shall be one with him being raised, by being raised to life as he was. And we know that our old being has been put to death with Christ on his cross, in order that the power of the sinful self might be destroyed, so that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For when we die, we are set free from the power of sin. Since we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Verse 9, for we know that Christ has been raised from death and will never die again. Death will no longer rule over him. And so, because he died, sin has no power over him. And now he lives his life in fellowship with God. In the same way, you are to think of yourselves as dead, so far as sin is concerned. So far as sin is concerned, but living in fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12, sin must no longer rule in your mortal bodies so that you obey the desires of your natural self, nor must you surrender any part of yourselves to sin to be used for wicked purposes. Instead, give yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, surrendering your whole being to him to be used for righteous purposes. Sin, verse 14, sin must not be your master, for you do not live under law, but under God's grace. Okay, so now let's continue. So he said a lot there, and we're going to go over and we're going to go through this thoroughly. So now let's continue, though, because what's after that? He says, what then? Shall we sin because we are no longer under law, but under God's grace? By no means. Surely you know that when you surrender yourself as slaves to obey someone, you are in fact the slaves of the master you obey, either of sin, which is the result of death, or of obedience, which is the result of being put right with God. But thanks be to God, for though at one time you were slaves to sin, you have obeyed with all your heart the truths found in the teachings you received. You were set free from sin and became the slaves of righteousness. And he says, at one time, you surrendered yourself entirely as slaves to impurity and wickedness for wicked purposes. But in the same way, you must now surrender yourself entirely as slaves of righteousness for holy purposes. When you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. What did you gain from doing the things that you are now ashamed of? The result of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and are the slaves of God. Your gain is a life fully dedicated to him, and the result is eternal life. For sin pays its wage, death. But God's free gift is eternal life in union with Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you hear that? He said a lot right there. He said a lot right there. And we're going to go back through it because I want you to see exactly what he said if you didn't catch it yet. If somebody says we are no longer under sin, we are no longer under the law, we are under God's grace, and they say, well, look, Paul said it in Romans 14, Romans 6, verse 14. It says, sin must be not be your master, for you do not live under the law, but you are under God's grace. But what law is he talking about? What law is he talking about? Because remember, we defined what law was in the beginning. And law was defined as Torah. Torah is defined as shooting the arrow and hitting the mark, the accurate arrangements of all things, God's guidance and his instructions, the commandments. Amen? So now we have a law of Moses, what they call or consider the law of Moses, which is literally the Ten Commandments. We have the holy days, which people consider to be the law. What is he talking about here? What law is he talking about that we are no longer under? Because he says next that we shall not sin. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under God's grace? He says, surely by no means. So now you have to do your history now again. And you'll see it in scripture, and I'm going to show it to you. You have to do your history now again because there were certain laws that were going on in the Old Testament that Christ fulfilled, okay? Father fulfilled the laws of Moses, which are the Ten Commandments, because he abided by those. Father fulfilled and honored the holy days, which a lot of us don't honor because we think they're just religious Jewish days, which they're not. Those are Father's holy days, which he says that we must honor from generations to come, and we don't do that. We honor cultural days, but there were sacrificial laws that were done. When we sinned back in the Old Testament, we went to the priest, the high priest, for them to make sacrifices with what? Lambs and goats and cows and all of these animals and all of these things for our sins, so we didn't have to die. But we don't have to do that no more. One, we don't have to go to a high priest for sacrificial offerings. And two, we don't have to kill all of these animals for their blood. Because why? Christ fulfilled that for us. Christ was our sacrifice, so that way we no longer had the sting of death. So now if you go back up and you start reading, go back to 6, starting at verse 1, you'll see that he's talking about certainly not. We have died to sin. How then can we go on living in it? And he says, for surely you know that when we were baptized in union with Christ Jesus, that we were baptized into the union with his death. The law that he's talking about is the law of sin and the law of death. When he says that you are no longer under this law, you're no longer under that. You're under God's grace. You're under the action of God being raised, resurrected from dead and giving us this kindness and this goodness for us not to have to do all these sacrificial offerings for our sinful nature, for our sinful self. That's the law that he's talking about. And I'm going to prove it to you. So now, that's just chapter 6, right? If you look at Matthew 5:17, it says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy but fulfill. So who's talking? That's the first person. That's the first thing you should ask yourself. Who's talking? Who is he talking to? That's Jesus. That's Christ talking. That's Yeshua's talking. And he's saying it. He's telling you, I do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot and not one tittle will by no means pass until the law is all fulfilled. And then he goes on to say, whoever breaks one of these least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great into the kingdom. Not one jot and not one tittle, not one stroke of the pen, not one letter from the word will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. And remember, we discussed last week, the second coming hasn't came yet. So everything that the prophecy spoke and everything that should be done is not all fulfilled. But what is fulfilled is the sacrificial laws, the law of sin and the law of death, because death no longer has a sting for his people. Amen. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Yeshua has saved us from those, from that sinful nature that we would once have to be killed for, from God, for acting out in disobedience. But Yeshua saved us from that. Amen? Okay, let's continue. Let's look at this. So now we have that understanding with Romans chapter 6. Well, let's continue. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and see what it says in there, because Romans chapter 7 says a lot too. The first section of Romans chapter 7 is like an illustration of the marriage and the union that you have with Christ. So let's read it so you can see it. And this is what Father was showing. He said, last week you gave so much information, but the main scriptures that I told you to touch, you didn't really touch them because you was cramming so much information in. So let's continue. So it says Romans chapter 7. So I'm still reading from the Good News Translation. And he says, we're on verse 1. He says, certainly you will understand what I am about to say, my friends, because all of you know about the law. The law rules over people only as long as they live. A married woman, for example, is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if he dies, then she is free from the law that bounds her to him. So then if she lives with another man while her husband is alive, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, then she is legally a free woman and does not commit adultery if she marries another man. This is how it is with you, my friends. As far as the law is concerned, you also have died because you are part of the body of Christ. And now you belong to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might be useful in the service of God. For when we lived according to our human nature, the sinful desires stirred up by the law were at work in our bodies, and we all ended in death. You see what he's saying? You hear that? He's still talking about the law of death. He's talking about the sinful nature which brought us to death. But he says now, verse 6, however, we are free from that law because we died to that which one held us prisoners. No longer do we serve the old way of the written law, but in the new way of the Spirit. Say then that the law itself is sinful? Of course not. There he says it again. So now if someone say we have done a law, we've done away with the law, and they say, well, Paul said we was in Romans 6:14. Okay, well, say let's go to Romans 6, chapter 7, verse 7. What does he mean by that? He says, shall we then say that the law itself is sinful? Of course not. But it was the law that made us know what sin is. Of course the law is not sinful. It's the law that makes us know what sin is. It's the Ten Commandments that lets us understand when we are out of order in the ways of the Lord, in the ways of God. It's the Ten Commandments that let us know what we're doing wrong that's not pleasing in God's sight. He says it's better to obey. We read that in the beginning in 1 Samuel. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. But if we didn't have a law, quote-unquote law, or what, his guidance and instructions, or what, the truth or his commandments, then how will we know what to obey? How will we have something that will keep us in the parameters of righteousness and right standing with God? We wouldn't. So that makes no sense for people to say that we're done away with the law because we're completely under grace. We've been under grace from the beginning of time. His favor has stooped down in an action from us from the beginning of time, when he parted the Red Sea, when he brought the Israelites through and freed them from Pharaoh, when he turned the water into wine, when he started healing. All of these things, all of these actions have been what? Goodness and kindness translated into an action that was showing us his enabling power in our lives. Grace has been around since the beginning of time, and grace is not going anywhere. It is an action of the power of God. And yes, we are under it, but there are things that we have to do, that we have to abide by. When you are a child and you are growing up in your parents' house, they give you grace all day, but there are still orders in that household that you must abide by from the time that you are a child until you grow up, so you can know how to live on your own as an independent individual. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. There is no difference. There is no difference. So are there laws or commandments that we have to abide by? Yes. So these commandments give us instructions and wisdom and the ways to go and how to grow in the ways of the Lord? Yes. When we break them, do we have grace? Yes. But they are not done away with. We still have to follow the commandments. If you don't follow the commandments and you murder, are you going to jail? Yes, you will. You will. Have you committed a disobedient act to God? Yes, you did. Or you will. It's just common sense. Amen? Okay, let's keep going. So, hold on, because this is really good. I really enjoyed this one. Okay, so we was at verse 7. So shall we say then that the law itself is sinful? Of course not. But it was the law that made us known what sin is. If the law had not said, do not desire, remember, don't covet, that's one of the commandments, do not desire what belongs to someone else, I would not have known such desire. Amen? So he's telling you that right there. And there was, wait, did I go all the way down? No, hold on, because that was 7:12. Let's continue. So he says, by means of that commandment, sin found its chance to stir up all kinds of selfish desires in me. He says, apart from the law, sin is a dead thing. I myself was once alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin sprung to life, and I died. And the commandment which was meant to bring life, in my case, brought death. Sin found its chance, and by means of the commandment, it deceived me and it killed me. When you act out in a sinful nature in disobedience to God and you keep continuously do it, then, yes, you are going to die. But repentance brings you into what? The body of Christ, underneath Christ, in the fulfillment of his promises, and death has no longer no sting in you. You have eternal life. Amen? So he says, so then the law itself is holy. Whoa! Did he just say that? 7:12, Romans 7:12. So then the law itself is holy, and the commandments is holy, right, and good. Glory to God. So how could people say that we have done away with the law, but he just said that it is holy? The commandments is holy, and it's right, and it's good. Isn't that wonderful to hear that? Because there's a lot of people today that don't follow the holy days. And that's very important. We have, in the United States, I don't know about the other countries that's listening, we have Easter coming up. Easter's not even mentioned in the Bible. And remember, we talked about Easter, how they came about, the fertility god, Nimrod's mother. She's a fertility god. She was one of the other gods, idolatry, that people worship. And this is how the day came about, from the Romans incorporating cultural days, pagan days, into Christianity to make us what? Deter from the holy days that Father said to obey, to take us what? Off the calendar and the cycle and the timing of God. So a lot of people don't observe the Passover. So a lot of people don't observe the Sabbath. So a lot of people, and then we have this new doctrine that's going around and say, oh, we're done away with the law because you are under grace. Well, we've been under grace. We've been under grace. So that means we don't obey God. We don't obey his word. When he says that this is a holy convocation for you to observe from generations to generations, so we don't study and observe what his days mean to him and why they're important and why they're written in the Bible, because we're done away with that? Who says that? God said that, or did man say that? Can you find anywhere in the Bible, in Scripture, that jot, not one tittle will be done by no means past? He said, can you find anywhere in Scripture where God says don't obey my holy days? Can you find anywhere in Scripture where God says don't obey my commandments? You can't. You can't. But our eyes are focused on what? All the cultural days. Christmas, another pagan holiday, or we'll say cultural holiday. Good Friday is not mentioned in the Bible. So we have Easter, we have Christmas. What's the other ones? There's so many cultural holidays that's been brought from a paganistic system that was incorporated into Christianity, or the believers, or the servanthood walk, to discourage and to distort your walk, to take you off the timing of God, that so many people nowadays don't even want to hear about or listen to, because now they think it's religious. They think it's a Jewish religious thing. But no, it's God thing. It's a God thing. This is the God that you serve, the Christ in you. This is part of your DNA structure. This is a part of your culture that you are saying that I don't want a part of it. This is a part of your inheritance, amen? So he says, the Lord, we are on Romans 7:12. He says, so then the Lord itself is holy and the commandments is holy and they are right and they are good. If we go down in the same one, if we go down to verse 21 and 22, you'll see, he says, so I find that this law is at work. When I want to do what is good, what is evil is the only choice I have. My inner being delights in the law of God. And the reason why we jumped down to here, I just glanced at the time and I wanted us to hit a couple other things. The reason why we jumped down to here is because it shows you on verse 22, he says, my inner being delights in the law of God. And just like we read in Psalms 119 last week, there were several scriptures in Psalms 119 that speaks about how we love the precepts of God, how we love the commandments of God, how the law of God is good and is true. So you see that Paul observed the law. Paul observed the law. Paul observed the holy days. Is Ian being delighted in that? And we'll continue reading. He said, but I see a different work at law in my body, a law that fights against the law which my mind approves of. It makes me a prisoner to the law of sin which is at work in my body. What an unhappy man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Thanks be to God, who does this through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who will rescue me from this body that is taking me to death? Do you see how many times he's talked about the law of sin and the law of death? But every time he mentions anything that's reference to what? The Ten Commandments? Because remember he said, if thou covet, he said, if we didn't know what coveting is, if we didn't know what it meant to yearn or earnestly desire for someone else's mate, then we wouldn't know our standards. So he didn't talk bad about that. He's specifically talking about the sacrificial laws. He's specifically talking about the law of sin that leads up to death that we are freed from, and it was fulfilled in Christ. Let's continue, though, because he's going to continue to say that. This then is my condition. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. While by my human nature, your fleshly nature, it serves the law of sin. Because your flesh, what, works against your mind. Your flesh works against your spirit. We know that. We know that. That's why we have to, what, renew our mind constantly every day. That's why the word says pray without ceasing. That's why we have to stay in the word of God, because we have to make this Holy Spirit, this spiritual being that is housed in this fleshly body, we have to make it rise up and take reign and rule over this fleshly nature that wants to do whatever it wants to do, like lust and fornicate and lie and gossip and sin and do all of these things that it says in Galatians 5. The fruits of the world, not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of unrighteousness, not the fruit of righteousness, which is love and meekness and joy and kindness. He says it right then and there. On my own, I can serve God's law only with my mind. Law being what? His Torah, his guidance and his instructions, his accurate arrangement of all things, the teachings of his word from Genesis to Revelation, and what he reveals to us through his Holy Ghost. But with his human nature, with your fleshly nature, with your fleshly sense, you can't do that. Because your flesh wants you to obey who? Satan, the enemy. So now that was Romans 7, right? We saw what it said in Romans 6, and we read through Romans 7. And it says that the law is holy, the law is just. And we saw that in verses 21 to 22, that Paul kept the law. We see also at the end that Paul says that he observes the law with his mind, because he has the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ scriptures. You can look those up. And we are advised that The Lord taught us what was good. So he's talking about the law of Moses, which is the Ten Commandments. I don't know why they call it the law of Moses. They're commandments. The Torah, the guidance and instructions of God, the teachings of his word. God is so good. But wait, it gets even better. Go with me to Romans 8, and we're just going to read verses 1 and 2. Continue down to Romans 8. Now, what the Holy Spirit was showing us today, the importance of not taking scriptures out of context, the importance of going back and getting the scripture and going and studying to show yourself approved, the importance of doing your research and finding out exactly what the Bible is speaking about, even if you have to go to a different translation, even if you got to study the history of what's going on, even if you got to go a little bit further than what's in your normal comfort zone. We always want microwave blessings. We always want microwave miracles. We always want to use a microwave prayer and get a microwave answer without putting no work. And I always use this on the prayer line. How much force does it take for a rocket ship to go from the earth up into the outer layers of the universe? It takes so much force that sometimes they can't even get the rocket to go up, right? So how much force do you think it takes for you to go through several levels of the heavenly realm? Because it says that you are in Christ and you are seated with him, with the Father. Because in Ephesians, it talks about Christ being seated by the right hand of the Father, above all principalities, powers, might, and dominions, and everything that is named, that's to bow down to him. So if you are in Christ, you are seated right there with him too. And the reason why a lot of things don't manifest in our life is because we are seated too low. We are soaring too low. We are not moving in the seat and the authority and the power where we need to be, what we need to be doing. So with that being said, how much force, how much power, how much time, how much energy, how much prayers, how much praise, how much time do you think it takes for you to get what you need to get if you're here on earth and your flesh is telling you one thing and your mind is in the heavenly realm? How much time do you think it takes? 5-10 minutes sometimes just to pray and to get seated in your throne room? Or do you think you have to lay at the feet of Father sometimes and cry out to him and praise his holy name and bless his holy name and pray without ceasing for your Holy Spirit to take control of that atmosphere and change the atmosphere and let your body ascend into the heavenly realm where you are seated at? High, far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion. Far above the schemes and the tactics of the enemy, the prince of air, the prince of air. He's beneath your feet. But if you're not soaring above him, then how can you reap the promises of God, the inheritance of the things that is in heaven that shall be on earth? How can you go up into the heavenly realm and pull and grab those things and pull them down into the earthly realm if you can't even reach that far? You are going to have to put more time into spending with God. You are going to have to pray more. You are going to have to study more. You are going to have to praise him without ceasing sometimes. Sometimes when I don't feel like it, I don't feel like reading my word, I get up and I praise him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. That's a commandment that you are telling your soul to come out of your soulish self, to come out of your fleshly nature and come into your spiritual being and praise the Lord your God that has given you eternal life, that has given you powers from above, that has given you promises that no man, no weapon, no witchcraft, no sorcery can take. Some of you people out there in the other countries, they focus on witchcraft and sorcery to try to scare you, but there is no witchcraft or no sorcery, not no tongue and not no ritual that any person can speak about you to destroy you if you are in Christ. If you can speak the blood over your life, if you can speak the living word of God, you have nothing to fear. Because the power of God, if God is for you, there is nothing, no witchcraft, no scheme, no sorcery, no one can be against you because God has your back. Amen? Okay, so Romans chapter 8, we said we was going to continue, and I wanted you just to see verses 1 and 2, not me, the Holy Spirit. He says the life in the Spirit. So in Romans 8, verse 1, he says, there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Woo! Glory to God. Did you hear that? That was just confirmation of what we was talking about. Because, see, when we was in Romans 6, he just said law, 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 law. He didn't really specify law of sin, law of death. He just said law. So now it could get a little bit confusing, right? Well, what law is he talking about? And then you hear me saying he's talking about the sacrificial laws, the sacrifices of law and sin, the law of sin and death. And you're like, but where is that? Because if you're a person like me, you got to see. I need to see that. Where do it say that at? Because now I don't trust you either. Because now I was taught this in church, and they said this, but now I'm hearing you say something different. Now, are you sending me to a wind of doctrine, every wind of doctrine? Because, see, that's how I am. And I know I'm transparent. That's how I am. Show me where that says. Show me where that's at. And that's how you guys need to be. When somebody is teaching you the word of God, you want them to show you the jot and the tittle that God wrote through the hands of man, by the power of the living ghost of the Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of God, that he used men to write what he needed to give you guidance and instructions, so that way man cannot deter you from his walk. Man cannot deter you from your promises that he has in you. Amen? So he said, there's no commandment now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation now, for those who live in union with Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit, which brings us life. The law of the Spirit, which brings us life. Which law do you think he's talking about? The law of Moses, which is the Ten Commandments. What else do you think he's talking about? The holy days, which some of you guys are not following. You need to start studying them and looking them up. Because when you observe and you follow and you're obedient to Daddy, oh my God, the obedience commands the blessings in your life. The obedience commands the blessings. Blessings will be in the overflow in you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in your life. Are you in a cycle or something? That's because you're not obeying Daddy. Yes, his grace endures forever. His grace and his mercies endure forever and ever, yes. And he loves you so much that he's giving you time to get it right. He's giving you time. He loves you so much that he's releasing his kind-hearted, good nature into an action that's enabling his powers into your life to help you each and every day to get in union with him in Christ. Isn't that such a blessing? That's how much Daddy loves us. That he knew that you was going to be on this line this day to hear this exact message. That he knew that I was going to speak too fast and cram everything in that lesson last week to where he was going to have to tell me, you're going to have to teach that again. You're going to have to make a part two, because your radio show number 5 means grace. Some people didn't get it last week. Some people need a better understanding, and some people are like you, Ms. Reeves, that need to see what you said in the scripture. You explained it well, but you didn't show them well. Amen? For the law of the Spirit, which brings us life in union with Christ Jesus, has set us free from the law of sin and death. So are we done away with the law because we are under this new dispensation of grace? The verdict is no. No, we're not. No, we're not. You have to abide by the commandments of God. You have to abide by his goodness and his mercies. So you can see reading the scripture in context. It tells you everything that we need. So now when someone say, are you done away with the law, you're educated now to say, no, we're not. We're not done away with the commandments of God or his holy days or what the law also defines in Psalms as the truth or the commandment, or even as it says in John that he, that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That no, we're not done away with Christ by no means. No, we're not done away with that. But you know what we are done away with? We learned online. We learned on this radio show that we're done with the sacrificial laws of sin, the laws of sin and death, that if we sin now, God ain't going to come down and kill us. We don't have to go to a high priest and ask him to kill a cow for us or a lamb or a goat to cover our sins, because Christ, our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, has sacrificed that for us when he died on the cross, on the stake for us. Christ has fulfilled that for us. So we don't have anything to worry about, because we are alive in Christ. And glory to God, death no longer has its sting upon our life. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. So now we have an understanding of what this law and grace thing is about. Isn't it wonderful to have an understanding about the Word of God? It just makes you just feel so good. I love it. I love it. And it's not about arguing about the Scriptures. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about walking the walk accurately. Accurately. We want to walk this walk accurately. So for those that are on the line and you've heard about this and now you have an understanding and now you're hearing about being in Christ, and you want this closer walk with him. You want more of his powers and his glory upon your life. And repeat after us. We're rededicating ourselves every week, every day. You can do it every day. Amen? Father, forgive us for the things that we have done wrong in your sight, not following your commandments and your guidance and your instructions, not following your holy days, not understanding the word and studying to show ourselves approved. Yeshua, Jesus, we love you. You are the God of our salvation, and we want you to come into our life greatly. We want you to be our Lord. We want you to be our Savior, and we believe that you have died and rose again, and through you that we have eternal life, and we accept you willingly and knowingly among all people. Right now, we accept you as our Lord and Savior, and we submit our life to you, and we thank you, Lord, that we are saved and set free in you right now. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen and amen and amen. Once again, I am Evangelist Yolanda Reeves from Anointing Intercessory Prayer Ministry. You can join us on our services on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All you got to do is dial 760-569-7171. The access code is 971674PROW. And we're doing a blessing, a closing blessing out of our Hebraic tongue, number 6:24-26. With outstretched hands, we say, Yererekika Yehovah Rishmereka, Yaer Yehovah Panave Leka Vihuneka, Yisa Yehovah Panave Leka, Vesim Leka Shalom. And we just literally declare number 6:24-26 over your life, that may the Lord Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may Yehovah the Lord lift up his countenance, the wholeness of his being upon you, and give you peace. I love you guys. Shalom. Hallelujah.